The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I am so proud to announce two very special, important things. Ready?
Okay.
Today, the day that we were recording this, it is Fred and George Weasley's birthday.
Happy birthday, Fred and George.
Happy birthday. And most importantly, Marvin, you don't want to know what this day is? It's opening day for the Red Sox.
Your cousin from Boston.
That's right. It's a holy day.
So if you are missing the video aspect of this podcast, you are missing out on Blake's really dirty, gross jersey.
It's not that gross.
It is.
It's got a lot of love.
Actually, this is his second outfit because the shirt he was wearing prior to this was a blue t-shirt that rocked all the Red Sox stuff. And that was actually dirtier. So I said, there is absolutely no way that you can go on.
I've had this jersey since sophomore year of high school.
Look at you.
And
look at you fancy. Yeah,
and it's just got a lot of love. That's it.
That's one word for
it. It's number 21. It's my old Roger Clemens jersey.
My goodness gracious. Well, here we go, guys. We are on chapter 18. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs. Lupin's face had hardened, and there was self-disgust in his voice. All this year, I have been battling with myself, wondering whether I should tell Dumbledore that Sirius was an animagus. But I didn't do it. Why?
Animagus.
I read it in my own words.
No, you wouldn't say.
Animagus.
No, you know what that actually deserves?
I'm on Burgundy?
Yeah, whatevs. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? All these made up words. This is what happens when you read the books before you listen to anything or you watch any movies.
Like Hermione.
Yeah.
Like everybody thought it was Hermione.
Yeah.
No, it's Hermione.
Animagus?
Animagus.
Okay, I'll potato potato.
Haji.
Gis. Anyway. Should I tell Dumbledore that Sirius was an animagus? But I didn't do it. Why? Because I was too cowardly. It would have meant admitting that I betrayed his trust while I was at school, admitting that I'd led others along with me, and Dumbledore's trust has meant everything to me. He let me into Hogwarts as a boy, and he gave me a job when I should have been shunned all my adult life, unable to find paid work because of what I am. And so I convinced myself that Sirius was getting into the school using dark arts that he learned from Voldemort, and that being an animagus had nothing to do with it. So in a way, Snape's been right about me all along.
Oh. Poor Lupin. Just like taking ownership over it finally and just admitting how much he is kind of pretty much, yeah, definitely betrayed Dumbledore.
Which is like the worst feeling for a Gryffindor.
Yeah, that's not
betrayal,
great.
Betrayal, cowardice. Oh.
Well, I feel like it would affect a Hufflepuff more, the betrayal aspect of it.
I mean, they are very loyal, too. The cowardice, when he said, I've been a coward, I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that one. That's
you need an ice cream cone. You need some chocolate. That'll make
him feel all kinds of better.
Well, before we get into discussing all things about Chapter 18, we would have loved to let you know that this podcast and all of our podcasts are brought to you by you. What? Yes.
Say that again, Mary.
You. Okay, so here's the scoop. Many of you have supported us at jointhenerdclan.com, and you are about to get a very special treat. Blake and I are going to be fine-tuning some dates where we're going to be giving rewards of hysterical content, like me putting makeup all over Blake, us watching a movie together, meaning us and you, and us having a live Zoom together. You do not want to miss out on this, and for as little as $2 a month, you can support this podcast at jointhenerdclan.com. So if it brings you Lumos in a time of Nox, if you enjoy our different perspectives, make sure you're a member at the Nerd Clan. Join the nerdclan.com. Now, let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Oh, you guys ready? Hold on tight. Pretty much this chapter is called Remus Lupin's backstory.
No, this one's called Exposition.
P.S. James Potter, Sirius Black, Peter Pettigrew are all animagi. Manimagi? We don't even know.
Animagi.
Yeah. They're animaguses.
They're not animaguses.
They are.
Animagi.
In my mind.
Okay, Hermione.
And as we talked about in the last episode, that is no small feat, okay? And P.S., Snape's been hiding in here at all.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Relatively short chapter, this chapter.
Yeah, compared to last chapter, too. Yes, I mean, this is all just like hitting you. And what I love is that these probably could have all just been like one big chapter, but just the suspense that you're left on at the end of each chapter. This is a hard one not to continue.
Yeah, no, you absolutely have to continue, right? Especially when Snape shows up at the end there, #spoilers. And
it's not a #spoiler. This was in the chapter.
No, I'm just saying it's a little bit of a funny, if you will. It's a little bit of a funny.
The spoiler?
I made a funny.
Oh, sorry. Didn't think it was funny. Anyway.
Especially when Snape comes out and points his wand at Lupin and it's like, yeah, that's right. And you have to keep going. I wouldn't blame any of you if you just kept on going through the end of the book, because from here on out, I mean, we are pumping, baby.
Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, left and right.
We're pumping, and if you've never read this before, just hang on tight, Spider Monkey, because hang on tight, Spider Monkey.
I know, hold on. Sorry, I'm looking for the, here it is.
Say it.
There we go.
Out loud.
There we go.
I got a lot of drops. I got to find them.
It's going to get bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. So let's just start at the very beginning, okay? Let's just hang. Let's savor some moments hanging out with Lupin, okay?
Yep.
So we start this off where they're like, Peter Pettigrew is your rat. And it starts off with everybody basically being like, he's mental. What's really fun is in this chapter, all of the different, the trio.
Yeah.
They are livid. They are confused. They just won't shut up.
They've all decided that everybody's crazy except for them.
And they're like, what's going on? It's still that frantic atmosphere that we had in the last chapter just continues. And it's actually why Remus Lupin, being the teacher that he is like, serious. I know that this is a serious moment, but we must stop so I can explain things to these teenagers.
We must give backstory to the reader.
Here we go. And Crookshanks just like chills and hangs on out. Yeah, because Sirius is here. He's ready to kill Pettigrew. Mind you, he would have. If Remus Lupin didn't exposition dump, Pettigrew would have been dead.
That would have been dead. D-E-D.
Done.
D-E-D.
Dentos. But he's like, they've got a right to know everything. He's like holding Black back. And this is amazing, because if you realize how quickly Lupin has changed his tune,
sure.
Like he just figured out, what, an hour ago, half hour ago, 5 minutes ago, that Sirius is okay, that he's not guilty, ran on over there. This has been a friend who he's thought was a murderer for 12 years. Lots of crazy things are happening. And so they're explaining, you know, obviously Scabbers is Peter Pettigrew. Let's tell you what happened. I thought that Sirius had actually killed him all along as well. But the scoop is that nobody knew Peter Pettigrew was an animagus.
Mm-hmm. Animagus.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
And we get this beautiful insight by Hermione Granger, who's like, no, this can't be, because I was learning about them and I ended up like seeing that there's this whole catalog of people who are animagi.
In a magi, whatever.
I'll just have you say this word over and over. Does anyone else have a tough time saying it?
I feel like I've told you now the answer a couple of times.
Yeah, it hasn't stuck.
No, you wouldn't say.
And there's only been 7 people who've done it within this century. 7 people, of course, who are documented.
Yes, of course. And one of them being Minerva McGonagall, as a matter of fact, which is interesting. You know, this chapter is... Oh, you know, we talked about last chapter about the exposition and how it is a lot. This is the expository chapter that defeats all expository chapters that have ever been written.
But I love it.
But you know what? You're right. I was just about to say that, Marvin.
Love it.
This was done in a way that makes sense. One, it is rooted specifically in character. Mm-hmm. Why Lupin is the way that he is. And how he has reacted to the entire situation all year, and what his motivations are, especially as they relate to Dumbledore, and how that affects him. Awesome, but also too, what happens here is that Lupin is enlightening and amplifying the story for Harry and the kids, who have no idea about any of this stuff.
He basically started at the very beginning, which starts when he was bit.
Right. Right.
Because he has to, because that's really where it all begins.
Sure, yeah, you have to start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start.
So he's a very small boy when he received his bite.
You missed it.
No, I heard it. Okay, I'm just...
You're just ignoring.
No, I already sang it.
No, but I followed it up.
I'm proud of you. And there was no cure before, and the potion that Snape has been making for him is a very recent discovery. Okay, let's check this out. It makes him safe as long as he takes it in the week preceding the full moon. I keep my mind when I transform. I'm able to curl up in my office, a harmless wolf, and wait for the moon to wane again. So he's just like a straight up dog in his office. Got his wits about him, just taking a little napsky. Who feeds him?
That's a good point. Well, maybe he just has to get through it. Like, through the night.
I mean, he's still hungry.
Well, yeah, sure.
And is he just a werewolf for that night, or is it the week that he has to do it?
That's a good point. I don't know.
And,
does he, like, cob load beforehand?
Or does he have snacks? Does he keep, like, Cliff bars? But, like...
Cat
bars, so they taste like cat? Or are they Cliff bars that taste like a guy named Cliff?
Oh!
Because he doesn't want to let... He wants to eat people. Okay. So, of course, nobody was going to let him in, and then Dumbledore does let him in, which is interesting because I wonder why they wouldn't let Lupin in, but they would have let Hagrid in. Hagrid, who is half-giant. You know, I wonder, like,
yeah, but
where
I think a werewolf,
yeah,
like there is a very specific danger.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, at what line was it?
What's where they the demarcation,
like,
line?
Yeah, giants cool, totes cool, like,
you know, werewolves though. You know, it's just too much insurance. Mm.
And like, why is it only humans? And not other, like, magical creatures that are really smart.
Because the book, that's what the book needs it to be.
Anyway.
we call that hashtag plot problems.
So they decide, so Dumbledore comes up with this whole amazing plan, okay? Which just goes to show you why Dumbledore's pacing all the time.
Lily says maybe there's a DoorDash type service that comes to Hogwarts.
Lily nailed it. Oh. Fun thing for our friends joining. What has been the best thing that you've ordered on DoorDash during the pandemic? Let us know in the comments.
I'll tell you Mary's.
It was a Slurpee. A 59-cent Slurpee.
The delivery cost us more than the Slurpee.
No.
Yeah.
I was gifted DoorDash for the first time, and I didn't know what to use it on, so I used it on a Slurpee.
Mary could have literally gotten anything, and she got it on a Slurpee. Oh, it's great. The guy
loved his life.
The guy was floored. He's like, this one's going down in the books for me. Just a red Slurpee.
So they had the Shrieking Shack set up so that Lupin could transform into a werewolf, not attack any humans. They had the whole, like, tunnel carved out, and then the Whomping Willow planted there. so that that way, Madame Pomfrey, who HIPAA, like, way right. to go, HIPAA.
Oh, HIPAA certified.
Seriously, she didn't let that werewolf thing slip, but you know when Dumbledore was like, so, we've got a pretty unique health case this year. And she's like, oh, like allergic to bees? No. Allergic to hippogriffs? No.
No.
Werewolf. And she was like, I'm getting a race.
Yeah. Race all the vodka I can get.
Yeah. Thank you. Give very me much.
All the vodka.
But how flipping cool that they like planted it. I wonder how long it took to really sprout. You know, Sprout was in on it because she had to like bippity boppity boo that tree.
She's got
to
make it work, man.
Right? So he's transforming. He gets in line, of course, with his Gryffindor friends who take 3 years and finally figure out how to turn into animals so that they can safely be with him because mm-hmm. he won't want to eat them. But then one of them, two of them, think, you know, it would be a great idea. I mean, we're pretty much in Hogsmeade.
Sure.
Let's just go. Let's just go explore while we're all animals.
Yeah, might as well, right?
Let's take this werewolf out for a joyride.
Oh, my God.
You know.
And I love that Hermione just calls him out. That is so dangerous. What are you doing? I do love the regret that Lupin has.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really dumb of us. That was so stupid. And I hate that we broke all of the rules that Dumbledore laid down for us. And even though he let me in with the right intent of knowing that the rules were there for me, that tree was placed there because of me.
You know this was all Sirius's fault.
Of course it was Sirius's fault. Everything was Sirius's fault. And that was going to be what I was leading into. Marvin, you're like married to me or something.
It's like you're the only other adult I've talked to for a year.
That's not false.
I need other people. I love you.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting this weird psychic thing. Continue. I'll just be quiet.
Eventually we get to the story of what Sirius does to Snape. And Elizabeth here on Facebook said it earlier. She said that all this exposition is meant for it to be heard by Snape, which, correct. Of course, it is. And it is alluded to by the fact that the door opens, nobody's there. And that's what leads into the story of Lupin saying, Ron says, this place is haunted. Of course, the door moves. And Lupin says, no, this place was never haunted. The howls and everything that you heard were from me. And what the villagers heard were from me. And this place was built because of me. All of this stuff happens because of me.
It's all about me. But I am the bride.
The ultimate problem that they have, though, is that Sirius does play this trick on Snape. That being, oh, yeah, hey, Snape, you want to keep following your boy over there? Yeah, just follow him to the tree. Yeah, get right. Yeah, hit that button. The thing will start moving. You can get right in there, and then you can see what he's up to. And of course, we all know what that is. And James hears about this and saves Snape.
Yeah, because Sirius leans Slytherin. He comes from the House of Black, the noble House of Black.
Right. So
let's know.
Let's talk about this for a little bit here.
He's a Slytherin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. What?
Or a Glyphorin.
Is...
Gryphorin?
Gryphorin. Yeah, it would be Gryphorin. Glyphorin. No, Glyphorin's better. Glyphorin. Glytherin.
Sure. That's what he is.
Is Sirius not a good person?
Well, A, he's a Glyphorin.
Right.
Okay?
But is he not a good person? I mean... What he has done and the way that he busts, you know, Snape's, you know, cojones, and how this trick that he plays on him and the constant prodding.
I'll be devil's advocate. He's a teenage boy who's completely annoyed with Snape. Who knows what other situations they had going on with each other if they had duels.
Right.
Think about what Harry does with Sectum Sempra. Harry, is going to straight up. Really severely hurt Draco Malfoy.
Yes.
Does that mean Harry's really bad? No. It's just we have these teenage boys who have this angst, who make really silly and stupid choices from time to time that do hurt each other. Does this happen in real life? Do teenage boys sometimes get in kerfuffles and do really bad things?
But I never send someone to their impending death.
Yeah, I don't think he would have expected him to die.
He was sending him to go see a fully grown werewolf. What do you think is going to happen, bro?
I don't know.
That's the thing.
I'm not saying that he made a good, healthy choice.
As we look at this story, we have to look at the intent. And the intent, to me, would be he is sending Snape there, knowing full well, number one, what Lupin is. And then, number two, how werewolves, you know, just occasionally, you know, snack on
humans.
You
can think what you'd like. I am not challenging. You know, Sirius was put inside Gryffindor. Rachel chimes in on Facebook saying, Sirius is a Gryffindor in a family full of Slytherins. He must have told the hat that he wanted to be a Gryffindor. I agree. I think Sirius is in Gryffindor due to choice. He mostly leans Gryffindor, but you know he's got a naughty side. He's got that Slytherin side in him.
He's got a naughty side.
I mean, in more ways than one.
But either way, can we just talk about how special these group of wizards are? I mean, Lupin, James Potter.
This is like the flipping dream team from the Olympics.
It is. This is Larry Bird, yep. Magic Johnson, yep. Michael Jordan,
yep.
And Scottie Pippen.
Sure. Don't know who he is, but yep. I mean, this is like Space Jam.
Oh, okay. There you go. It's like...
I understand that more.
It's like Bugs Bunny.
There you go.
And it's the dream team. What was the hot rabbit's name?
I don't know.
The girl rabbit.
I don't know.
How do you not know these things? You quoted Space Jam.
I quoted Space Jam, but I don't think I've actually ever watched it. I just knew the soundtrack. Welcome to the jam.
They're coming out with another one, Space Jam 2. That's going to be starring LeBron James.
Awesome. Anyway, so this was the dream team. You know what I mean? This was the dream team of if Fred and George had a few other people who were of their level of brilliance and naughtiness, but were even more book smart. Like if Hermione was naughty, like if Hermione was friends instead of with Ron, but with Fred and George, mm-hmm. and they were like, let's go do naughty stuff. That's what this, yeah, I hear ya. I mean, we've heard it multiple times, how smart Sirius and James were, which is interesting because...
Oh, hold on, everybody here is saying Jessica Rabbit. No, it ain't, that's not Jessica Rabbit.
Not Jessica, not from Who Framed Roger Rabbit from Space Jam.
I'm gonna look it up now because I gotta know. Hot Rabbit. Space Jam.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah, we do get to hear about this terrible bullying thing that happened. What I like is
Lola Bunny.
Okay.
Lola Bunny.
There you go.
There
Easter
you
go. Bunny, Lola Bunny. Snape is in the room for this entire backstory, which I don't know if Snape fully understood everything. I mean, he's had this thing against Lupin, thinking that Lupin was part of it. Hopefully now... Mm-hmm. He realizes that Lupin didn't mean for that to happen. Hopefully by him being in the shadows, being under the invisibility cloak and hearing this from the very beginning, from like, I was bit as a boy, all these things happened to me. Hopefully he can sit back and be like, wow, I've really held a grudge against the wrong guy.
And you know, Grudge Snape is the best Snape. Like, you know, he holds on to those grudges.
I mean, isn't that the name of the previous chapter?
Snape. But Grudge Snape. Not like... Potion Snape or Professor Snape, but Grudge Snape. Dude, that guy, he don't mess around. And I also like here, too, that Lupin assumes all these years that he didn't like James because he was just good on the Quidditch pitch. And it's like, it's so much more than that.
Oh, it is an onion.
It's so much more than that. And it's also so much more than what he assumes why he doesn't like
I just thought of something really funny.
What?
I wonder if Severus was this wondering, like, why do all the girls kind of disappear a lot once a month? And Lupin.
What?
Like, why are the girls always, like, going to the bathroom once a month all the time?
Or, like,
napping more or whatever.
Oh,
and then there's Lupin. He just, like, couldn't understand. Then he had health class. He had like second year health class and they taught everybody about courses. You know, ladies, your ladies' friends are having their courses right now because you're all preteens.
Here's some deodorant.
Yes, yes. Wash your pits, Severus. And then he was like, all right, so my girlfriends are having their periods. But Lupin, what does he do once a month?
Lupin doesn't have a period, does he?
He has to go see Madame Pomfrey just like the girls do.
Is Lupin a girl?
No. Just saying. It's the same. I'm telling you, I had to teach health at this age. You have to teach them way too many things. And he probably got very confused. He's probably very, very confused. This is when it happens, Blake.
Marvin.
I had to teach girls how to go buy bras.
Oh.
Like, your mom should be teaching you this stuff. Man, oh man. Yay, Sissy!
Oh, my sister's here.
Sissy, I don't think he's ever washed this shirt his entire life.
Nope, she's seen me wear this shirt.
Yep.
Many a time.
She's probably seen that stain come to fruition. Yeah, sure. That stain come to fruition.
Yeah. Elizabeth says Lupin identified as a she-wolf.
Hey,
you know what?
It's
hey,
fine.
To each his own, man.
Yes.
I'll take it.
And then we get, and so that's why Snape doesn't like you, because he thought you were in the joke. That's right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to wait for that moment. Love it. I love it. Huge differences. I mean, this whole chapter in the movie writing area, they just took it, ripped it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
This chapter is sorely missed. You know, when you got to see movie 3 and you didn't read book 3, you're sitting there and you're like, you don't know.
I mean, they kind of did this. But I mean, they took away the joke, obviously. And one thing I think that they took away that they absolutely should not have taken away, because I can deal with without the stuff with Snape and all that other crap. I can deal without that. The thing the aspect that should not have been removed is Lupin's disappointment in himself for what he has done.
Agreed.
And how he has not told Dumbledore that Sirius is an animagus.
Agreed.
And he has to live with that. That is part of his character. Does it? Can we go without knowing that? Sure. The way the movie plays off is he doesn't even think that it's Sirius. He doesn't even know.
But it just explains so much, because he is disheveled. You know, he's put down even in the show and all this book all this while about just how poor he looks, how tired he always is, how just disheveled he is. And knowing all this, knowing that nobody would give him a job. So yeah, maybe he's being paid like an okay salary at mm-hmm. Hogwarts, but he probably didn't have like great jobs beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And then also he's had this guilt his entire life. He's had this guilt. And now he comes to Hogwarts and it's just another layer of guilt. It's the double whopper of guilt. Like,
right.
Oh, you felt bad that like maybe you could have bit somebody while you were a teenager in Hogsmeade, and now all of these friends have died, and like you thought you knew Sirius and you didn't, all this stuff. Oh, now you're going to come to Hogwarts. And guess what? You still have to keep the guilt that you know the truth about Sirius Black. Oh.
Part of this book, well, actually, no, I think a lot of the theme of the book that we've talked about, probably ad nauseum, is that this story deals with justice and injustice. You know, whether it's the application of justice for, let's say, Buckbeak, or it is the lack of justice for someone like Sirius. Something happens here, too, where Lupin, when he's allowed to be a student, Dumbledore says, yeah, sure, you could be here, but we got to take precautions.
Yeah.
The precautions is we got to build a Shrieking Shack. We got to build this tunnel. We got to put the Whomp and Willow over there.
He must have gotten a grant.
And from Alan Sean Feinstein. That's who we got the grant from. Is what Dumbledore does to Lupin, is it just? Is it right? I mean, he is... Lupin has this great line in this chapter. He says, I was taken away from humans so I couldn't bite them. Which ultimately means, when you think about it, he is not human. He is inhuman. And they're taking someone that transforms into being inhuman and just placing them in a jail. Yeah, you go do you for whatever. You know, you do whatever. You just sit in there and you howl and what? Just
it's quite sad.
Wither away. Is it just? Is it right?
I don't know.
Well, that's the question. That's what I'm here for. I'm asking.
What do you think? I'll just be a mirror. Boop.
The larger part of me says it's right because they're giving him an opportunity to have an education. I mean, the kid, he's been in Animagus, what, since 4 or 5? I mean, not a werewolf, since 4 or 5, because Fenrir Greyback, he bites him.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault, but the kid deserves...
to try.
He deserves an education. He deserves a life. And how do you best solve that? I mean, a werewolf is a dangerous thing. And not only, it's not like, yeah, he's a werewolf and whatever. He runs around and he howls at people. I mean, you're endangering other children's lives. And pretty specifically by allowing a werewolf into your school. I mean, God forbid, Madame Pomfrey, you know, has a couple of too many vodkas and she forgets. And she doesn't take Remus out to the Shrieking Shack. What happens then? Right? Like, it's pretty wild. And luckily, oddly enough, Remus does get these friends. While it was so painful and so miserable transforming into the werewolf, he does have his friends who spent all of these years trying to learn how to become anime guy. Or anime guy. Anime guy.
Gotcha.
Anime guy. And they allowed him to have the best time. They were the ones who were out there doing what they do. And that relates back to how special this group really is, mm-hmm. how talented they are. They have that specific magic knowledge of, number one, becoming an Magi, and then also writing the Marauder's map. This is like, it just kind of glossed over a little bit, but the Marauder's map, that's legit magic.
And he says, and it's very important, that the Marauder's map never lies. This actually comes back up in the book's next book, that we're going to need to make sure that we can believe the validity of this map. But yeah, they were able to sneak around as animals so much that they learned all of these different little ways to get in and out of Hogwarts. And then they made this amazing piece of magic in a map to utilize to let them see where everyone is. I mean, these guys were brilliant.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know what they are?
What?
You know those wicked smart kids that, like, your mom would always say, and then there was Peter. Peter, you would have thought he would have been an astronaut. Okay? Peter got top marks. He was a great kid, star athlete, brain. Oh! Best good, brain in the
good looking,
class.
Too. Good looking kid. Good.
And then he wasted it all away. He got caught up with that Sirius kid. And they just started doing...
They had too
dangerous
many,
stuff.
Too many ciggies and beer.
Too much ciggies and beer. Went down the toilet.
Whole life.
Got right, himself blown up.
Right down the crapper.
You know, that's what Madame Rosemurda was probably thinking.
Of course.
Like, yeah. Suddenly, those kids were brilliant.
Suddenly,
but...
Madame Rosemurda is...
Your cousin from Boston.
We all know those people that our parents would, like, warn us about, you
oh,
know?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't be like that
guy. Don't be
guy.
Like Peter.
Don't be like Peter. Peter's no good.
Look what happened to him.
Nothing like wasted talent. Look at Peter.
Okay. Madame Rosemurda. What happened to her?
Sometimes okay. I think I see him down on the corner.
Okay, we're done. We're not doing different perspective yet. She's not even in this scene.
All right, yeah, I think we're done.
Okay.
I think we're done.
All right, great. Awesome.
Got anything else you want to say about this chapter?
Is there anything else I want to say about this chapter?
I didn't tell you to sing. I asked you if you wanted to.
I'm singing the Little Rascals. Dumbledore, keeping that secret, man.
What
the secret of Lupin and the Shrieking Shack, and then he'd be like going to hang out with Madame Rosemurda.
There's so much liability in all of
and
this.
And he was like, oh yeah, I think it is haunted. Keep telling others it's haunted.
You know what? You brought up a good point, Marvin. The fact of the matter is the Shrieking Shack and the Whomping Willow have only been there for, what, 20, 25 years? Because it was there for Remus Lupin. The legend of the Shrieking Shack has grown to this level
yes.
where it's like all these people over in Hogsmeade or wherever the heck it is, they're like, yeah, dude, don't go there. you don't. What was the house that they called in the Jumanji? The freak house. Yeah, don't go to the freak house, man. That's what this is. And it was only built 20 years ago. If we were talking about it now, it'd be like looking at a house down your neighborhood that was built in 2000. And you'd be like, yeah, the freak house. No.
Are you right? It's not like the Conjuring house that is in my state and it's real.
Right.
Don't come to Rhode Island.
Rhode Island's a weird place, dude.
A lot of creepy,
wicked,
crazy
weird
things.
Place.
Y'all who watch The Conjuring, I'm serious. That takes place in Rhode Island.
Yep.
You can rent that house. No
so,
thanks.
It's almost like all of these people. I wonder. Was there a memory charm used on these wizards about the Shrieking Shack?
Who knows?
That's a good question, because half these adults over here seen it before it was even a thing, and then they seen it built, and now they're like, yeah, dude, don't go there.
Well, as soon as it was built, it was full of absolute screams. So it's like right from the get-go.
Sure. That's a good point.
All set like with that house.
It's like the Burbs.
I don't even
the big
know
green, the big no, green no. light coming out from the basement.
Yep. Don't go there. No, thank you.
Sardines. Oh, great. I love that movie. It's a great movie. All right.
It's a great movie.
Let's do the different perspective.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are...
Severus Snape.
Hey, Severus, how are you? What's going on today?
Oh, you know, the most delightful thing happened to me today, dear diary, because I can't tell anybody this, but I got to wear James Potter's invisibility cloak. I've wanted to wear it ever since I heard about it. I thought it was a thing, but I found it outside. And I knew how to push the little knob with a stick. And I went inside.
Yeah? Yeah, what happened?
And I got to see Sirius Black and Lupin.
You saw Sirius?
I saw them all.
Oh my God, what happened?
I had the most proud moment of my teaching career.
What was that? Did you make a good potion? Did
Hermione Granger remembered page 394.
394.
She remembered. My life is complete.
End scene.
End scene. Good job. Hey, that, you know what?
Hey, what?
That actually brings up a great point, Marvin. Great point.
What?
The author?
Yeah.
Much smarter than I think we all think she is. You want to know why?
I don't think she's much smarter than we think she is. I think she's flipping brilliant.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I mean, she's got her own issues.
I can't believe you didn't love my Snape.
I love your Snape. The Snape was great.
Okay.
But when I thought about this, I was like, you said that, it brought me back to book one. Book one, when Snape is in class with Harry and said, Harry, what's the difference between Wolfsbane and whatever? The author introduces the idea of the Wolfsbane potion all the way back in book one.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's really cool.
We also hear about the, forgetting its name, but it's the thing that helps you when you are with dying with like poison that Harry shoves into Ron's mouth. We learned that in book one too.
Oh, a Bezoar.
There you go.
I gotcha. Look at that. Look at that. Look at you.
Listen, man.
Look at the author.
We don't
Look at
joke.
All of you.
We don't joke.
All right. Now it is time for listener questions. If you have a question, please write it in the comments if you are live.
We have one on Instagram, McKenna.
Okay, we will get to that in a minute. We got to play the sound. We've been doing this now forever, Marvin. We got to process.
Did I have a sound from my different perspective?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm Hermione Granger, and you are.
I don't wear headphones in this podcast. So.
Oh, unbelievable!
I didn't hear it.
So yeah, if you got a question, or you want us to chat about something, just put a little
lightning bolt emoji before your comment. And those of you listening on the podcast app, you can, of course, email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com with your questions for the next chapter.
Oh, Miles here.
All right. The first question comes from McKenna on Instagram. She says, do you think Lupin can pass the werewolf gene on to his son in future books?
I don't think he could pass the gene, but I bet his son was like a little hairier. You know, like
a little bit more testosterone.
Like Portuguese Harry. What? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do, but
yeah.
I didn't think you would go there.
Why? Portuguese guys are really hairy.
They are. They are. Not us Danish guys. We ain't got no
hair. No, you wouldn't. Nope.
Full dolphin.
Yeah, you are not.
Not a hairy guy.
Werewolf. You are not definitely a descendant not a of a werewolf flake.
I haven't even seen a dog or a canine, anything, basically, in my life.
Just dolphin.
Just dolphin. All right, next one comes from Caitlin. She says, what is considered haunted? Like Hogwarts full of ghosts, how would the Shrieking Shack be that much different? The ghosts at Hogwarts don't bother the wizards. Why would a rumor about a screaming ghost scare people away?
I bet you there are some bad ghosts. Like, I bet you there's some bad stuff. They're just lucky that at Hogwarts, things there are kind of okay. But, I mean, there's a lot of things in the Wizarding World we do not know about. A lot of dark arts stuff.
Well, you know, now you have to define ghost, right? Like, so...
Like, haunted. What is haunted? Does that mean it is a ghost?
Is it a malevolent spirit? Like, maybe all the screams and the people think that people are dying in
is
there.
Is it like a fantastic beast that you just don't want to go near?
Right. Or is it like paranormal activity? You don't know. You don't know what's... Dude, the freak house. Don't go near the freak house.
No thanks.
No thanks, man. I would also say hashtag plot problems. That's also what that would be, too. Caitlin also asks, do werewolves only eat humans? Because I can see a dog being okay, and a rat would be able to get away, but a deer seems like it would be a pretty nice snack.
Yeah, I think it only wants to bite humans.
It only wants to bite humans, yeah. Again, I would also say hashtag plot problems. Another thing, too, that happens in this chapter, Harry asks a very specific question that Remus does not answer.
Correct.
What would my dad turn... What animal would blah, blah, blah? And then Hermione says, no! That's stupid! Why would you do that stuff? Like, Hermione, oh my God. Don't talk. Just let's... But they have... She has to... Well, yeah. The author has to preserve the reveal for the end of the book.
I was talking with the kids. It's not this chapter specific, but I was talking with our children because they're flipping brilliant, I tell you what. Our little lass brought up, she said... Who was it who saw the whose cup was it that had, she said, had Sirius Black in it? So it took me a moment. Whose cup was it who had Sirius Black in it? And I said, oh, she's talking about the tea leaves. She's talking about the tea leaves in Harry's cup.
Yeah.
And she, but by her wording it that way, because of course that was Harry's cup that, Ron needed to read, and Trelawney ends up seeing the shape of the Grim. It just got me thinking about how Harry has been seeing the Grim in Trelawney's room.
Right.
Like, it does show up in his tea leaves. He does see it in the orb.
Right.
Even with Buckbeak, you know, granted he's kind of making it up, but that does come true. So I got to tell you, I think that Harry might have a little seer in him. Not saying hardcore, but just like an inkling, like he's talented in it. Like he shouldn't make it a career, but he should trust his gut, even though he gets a lot of things wrong.
He is a seer as much as you are
psychic?
Psychic.
Which I'm pretty psychic.
For the most part, yes.
I know.
I would say so.
I just think it's interesting that he did have kind of some of these things popping up.
Is there like a... On a scale of 1 to 10, is he like a 1.5? Yeah, sure. Why not? Most people are 0. Maybe he's got a 1.5. The next one comes from... Let's see here. Kim, she says, I think Crookshanks used to belong to Sirius Black before Hermione bought him. I think there is a big fan theory about that, Mary. Can you look that up?
That Crookshanks was Black's pet?
Yes. There is a fan theory about that, I think.
Oh, okay, I'll look it up.
From what I recall, I actually think we've talked about this before, too.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think that he is, too.
Why don't we tackle another question?
Okay, the next one comes from Cheryl on Instagram. She says, do you think we ever learn about why the Marauder's map in film showed Newt Scamander inside Hogwarts? Like in a late Fantastic Beasts film, old Newt walking past the trio in the hallway.
Do you think we ever learn about... Yes. I think we will learn about it.
Really?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know.
That would be fun.
It would be fun. I would hope that we do if that is something. Oh, the fan theory was that Crookshanks was Lily's cat. That was the fan theory.
Okay, that,
yes,
yeah.
That's what it was. Okay, yes, 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 yes.
But no, Crookshanks is part Kneasel, which is like a fantastic beast that knows when people are being false and really has issues with that when there's like falsity going on. So Crookshanks befriends Padfoot, befriends Sirius Black in his dog form, and hooks him up.
Yep. Nadine says, where do I find out the quiz to find out what house I am in?
Google.
Nadine, go to Google. Just go right to the Google machine and look up Wizarding World House Quiz. That's all you got. Wizarding World House Quiz. And that will get you right there. You got to sign up for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter or whatever, but it's worth it. Trust me, you're going to want to know what house you're in. And that is that. I think that's all for the questions. Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Ready to close this bad boy out?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so very much for taking your time to listen to the Potterverse. I always like to remind you that we have a complimentary texting service, so you can join us live. We're live on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook whenever we do an episode of the Potterverse, and you can join. If you're in the U.S., you simply take your phone out and you text to the phone number 81010. Yes, it's only 5 digits long. I promise you it'll still work. So once again, 81010, and in the message field, the @ Elderwand. Okay, so just all one word. It's like a username, @Elderwand, the @ Elderwand, and that will get you signed up for our complimentary texting service. You'll get a text from me saying, guess what? We're going live tonight at XYZ time. We would love to have you on there as we continue to delve into the Potterverse.
Yeah, we're going to be here doing all the good time stuff and talking about This Is Us and all the other shows that we cover at Mary and Blake, including The Falcon and the Winter Soldier for the MCU Diaries, a brand new podcast that is hosted by me. So if you love me, which very few of you do, all 10 of you do, you're going to want to spend some more time with me at the MCU Diaries. And we'll have some good time talking about all the Marvel shows on Disney Plus.
All right, my friends. For now, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.